Amen. Amen. That's what we've come to do today. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, Brother Johnny. I'm so thankful He's given us breath this morning. And I pray that we'll praise Him with it. All right. Landon, I see you back there. If you could stand for 1 second. We're going to need you to go and stand in front of the bathroom and make sure nobody goes in and steals the toilet paper. Y'all want to get through Landon? Y'all go ahead and try it. You don't... Well, it's good to be in church. Say amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 7, is where we'll be this morning. I was looking on our website. In the past, I think, 6 weeks, we've been in the Gospels, either Matthew, Mark, or John. I hadn't been in Luke one time. I feel bad for it. I'm sorry, Luke. But we'll switch it up today. We'll go to the book of Acts this morning. And we will, this is one of the longest chapters in the book of Acts. If you're there, you'll see that it has 60 verses in it. And we don't have time to read all of those. So what I want you to do is I want you to find your place in verse 51. Verse 51 is where we'll begin reading this morning. And I'll give you just a little bit of a background before we get into it today. And you'll see the title of our message today is Standing for Jesus. Standing for Jesus. So we come to Acts chapter number 7. And I told you on Wednesday, for those that were here, from the beginning of the church in Acts 2 until today, the day in which we're living, there's always been two common denominators in the church. Two things have always happened in the church. Number one, people have always gotten saved, and there has always been problems in the church. Those are two common denominators. People have always gotten saved, and there has always been problems. When we come to Acts chapter number 6, really, it's one of the first problems that comes up in the church. There's a lot of disciples around, walking around Jerusalem, and some of the people begin to complain that they're not being taken care of by the church. So Peter and the other leaders of the church, they come together and they say, well, it's not right for us to leave the Word of God. It's not right for us to stop praying to do really the business of the church. So we're going to appoint 7 men, really you can call them the first deacons, that are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit that they might take part of the business of the church. And one of those men that were elected as the first deacons was a man named Stephen. And the Bible says that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit. So Stephen is somebody that we've heard about really all of our lives. And when we come to chapter number 6, we see that Stephen has been making a great impact on the people around him. Stephen's testimony has become a great impact on people. And because of Stephen, many people are coming to Christ. And because of that, the Jews don't like Stephen. Because number one, they didn't like Christ. And now because Stephen's being used to bring people to Christ, they're saying, no, we got to stop this. So they start bringing up false accusations against Stephen and say, Stephen, you're a blasphemer. You've blasphemed the temple. You've blasphemed the law of Moses. And they come up to him and they say, basically, are these things the truth? And what chapter 7 is Stephen's sermon. And it's a long sermon. But we'll pick up in verse 51 and we'll go back through it a little bit as we move on. I want you to see how he kind of ends his sermon in verse 51. I mean, I'm not going to end my sermon this way, but Stephen ended it. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Wow. I mean, he ain't holding back. Stephen's letting them have it. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But I like this part. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, I want you to underline this, standing on the right hand of God. and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord, cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or he died. Father, we pray that You'll use this word this morning to encourage us. I pray that You will use it, Lord, to empower us. And God, I pray that You'll also use it to enlighten us this morning, God, of what You want us to know. God, what You want us to take with us out into this world. There's so much going on right now in our nation, and even in our state, in our town, in our community. And God, I pray that You will give us something from Your Word that we can take out of this place, that we can be empowered, that we need not fear, but we can trust in You, Lord, for our whole entire life and even our eternity. Lord, we love You, and I pray You'll have Your will in this sermon today, God, that You will just use it to touch our hearts. Lord, we love You, we praise You, in Jesus' name, amen. If you don't think we are living in the last days, I'm not sure what else is going to take to convince you of that. Well, you and I are living in the last days. Nearly every single thing the New Testament tells us that would be happening in the last days, you need to look around and find that those very things are happening. And I don't know about you, but that just about makes me want to pop a happy bubble, knowing that Jesus is on the way back very soon. I don't know if that makes you happy, but it makes me happy. For some people, it might make you scared, but for me, I'm so excited to live with Jesus in heaven forever. Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus, one of Jesus' greatest prophetic sermons is in Matthew chapter number 24. All of you have read it, and He tells about some things that would be happening in the world before He returns. He says, first of all, there is going to be wars and rumors of wars. Turn on the TV, you see that every day. He says, next, there will be nation rising up against nation. Every day, nation is rising up against nation. He says, there will be earthquakes. We see them every single year. He says, there will also be famines and pestilences. You know what that is? That's diseases and viruses that are going around. That's what pestilences mean. All these things that are going around that really can't be stopped. He says, that's what's going to happen in the last days. Can I tell you, every single thing I just said is happening right now. All of these things are what Jesus calls the birth pains. That's what He says in Matthew 24. But these things are the birth pains. In other words, when a woman begins to have birth pains, that means one thing. The baby is on the way. And what Jesus is saying is, when you see these things happen, I want you to know one thing. I'm on the way. And Jesus mentioned all of those things, but I want you to understand one thing He also mentions. Matthew 24, verse 9, He says, "And you shall also be hated of all nations for My name's sake." In other words, every single nation on the face of the planet is going to hate My followers. And let me throw this in for free for you this morning. If the world does not hate us, shame on us. If the world does not hate us, shame on us. Because that means we began to compromise with the world. Jesus never said, "I want you to be at peace with everybody in the world." If we are at peace with everybody in the world, that means we've laid down and compromised with everybody in the world. Jesus never meant for us to be at peace with everybody. He wants us to stand up for the truth. And what that means is, people aren't going to like us. People aren't going to like us because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Do not marvel if the world hate you." Brother Johnny, even though the Bible says all of that, it got me wondering this week, why does the world hate us? Why? And I came up with three reasons that I want to give you. This isn't the message, it's just the introduction. Why does the world hate us? Number one, it hated Christ. When Christ came into the world, the majority of the people that looked at Him hated Him. So, if the world hated Jesus, don't you think it's going to hate the people that follow Jesus? Jesus said that in John 15, 18. He said, just know that if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. Secondly, the world hates us not only because it hated Christ, but because their deeds are evil. The world hates us because their deeds are evil. See, that doesn't make sense. The Bible says the reason Cain killed his brother Abel is because he was wicked and he knew his brother was righteous. In other words, he didn't feel right being around his brother because he was convicted all the time that his brother was doing right, but he was doing wrong, so he didn't like to be around him. They hate us because their deeds are evil and ours are supposed to be righteous. Thirdly, and the main reason the world hates us, in my opinion, is because of this book. Our world is into one thing, being politically correct. And can I tell you what this Bible is not into? Being politically correct. If there is one book that calls it like it is, you better know it's the Bible. The Bible does not care if you like it or lump it, it's the truth. The main reason the world hates Christians is because of the book that I have in my hands. Let me tell you a very personal story about the Bible. I know a young lady right now who almost stopped following Jesus because she has a relative who was a homosexual. And that relative walked up to her and said, I can't believe you're going to become a Christian knowing what their Bible says about me. And she was very close to saying, you know what, that's right. I don't know why I would. But the fact is, what the Bible calls the truth is the truth. Some of the things, I don't even like it, and I wish there wasn't a place called hell that people had to go to. But the fact is, the truth is, there is a place called hell. The Bible tells it like it is. And that's why the world does not like Christians. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, being persecuted is not just about being killed because of our faith in Christ. It's about being hated because of our faith in Christ. Now, hate against God's people has gone on for a very long time. We're about to see it in the book of Acts. But Jesus said that hate will not continue to decrease. It will continue to increase. And in the last days, literally every single nation on the face of the planet will hate you because you follow me. And what is happening right now is every single nation on the face of the planet hates Christians because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate us. Now, did you know hating somebody is very dangerous? Hating somebody is very dangerous. You say, why is it very dangerous? Hating somebody is dangerous because of what it leads to. Hate is not really as much of an action as much as hate is in your heart. Hate is in your heart. But Jesus said the reason hating someone is dangerous is because it most often leads to murder. The reason people are in jail right now for murder is because they first hated that person. The reason people kill each other is because they hate each other. Murder is just the fruit of it. Hate is the root. Hate is very dangerous because of what it leads to. And the reason Christians are killed more and more every year is that reason, because they are hated. You and I are hated by this world. Now, this past week, I read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. All of you probably heard of it. It is a list of this guy. He came up with all the people that have been killed because of their faith in Christ Jesus from the time of the church until the time that he wrote it. It was a very interesting book to see all the people that were literally killed because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was all. Peter. Now, it's not in the Bible, but tradition tells you that Peter was crucified upside down because they wanted to crucify Peter, and apparently Peter said, no, I'm not going to die the same way my Lord died. I'm not worthy to die that way, so you're going to have to do it upside down. So apparently Peter was killed because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was crucified upside down. One of the seven churches in Revelation is a church called Smyrna. About 130 years after Christ, in the year 160 A.D., there was a man named Polycarp. Polycarp was the pastor of that church in Smyrna. And because he preached the Lord Jesus Christ every single week in that church called Smyrna over in Israel, they began to hate him, or in Asia Minor. They hated him because he preached Jesus. And one day they brought him out for all the public to see. And the main judge of that day looked at Polycarp in the front of everybody and said, "If you deny Christ, I'll let you go. But if you continue with Christ, you're dead." Polycarp looked at the whole crowd and he said these words, and I quote, "86 years I've served him, and he has never once wronged me. How can I now blaspheme my king who saved me?" In other words, "I'm not denying him. You're going to have to kill me." Wow. Isn't that amazing? He said, "I've served him 86 years. Never one time has he done me wrong. So how in the world can I do him wrong by saying I don't even know him?" That was Polycarp. Peter and Polycarp were both killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was 2,000 years ago. You say, what about now? You can look it up. Last year in the country of India, there was a missionary who was over there sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, planting churches, getting people saved. But one day he got on the train, Brother Johnny. He had his backpack. And there was a militia there, and they began to search his backpack. And you know what they found in that missionary's backpack? About 50 Bibles. You know what they did to that man? They threw him off of the running train. They didn't say, "Stop the train, he's off." They opened the doors while the train was just moving on the tracks and said, "You're out." And it nearly killed the man. It didn't kill him. You say, why did they do that? Simply because he had a few Bibles in his bag. In Nigeria, every single day, people are being killed because they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, I know two very good, godly Christians, Craig and Veronica, who are in a place called Indonesia. And right this very moment, they are in a church, an underground church, behind 5 locked doors. 5 of them. Because they know that if the Muslim jihad walks into that place and they find that it's a church that worships the Lord Jesus Christ, more than likely, they're either going to be beaten or they're going to be beheaded. And they're meeting right now, at this very moment, because they love Jesus. And they're risking their life to share Jesus with those people over there. And in talking about that, I'm almost done with all of this. But if I'm not mistaken, the biggest religion in the world right now is the religion of Islam. May not be the biggest religion in America right now, but the biggest religion in the world is Islam. Muslims. That's what they follow. They follow the religion of Islam. And I don't know if you listen to the media, I don't know if you listen to the news, but they will tell you that the religion of Islam just wants to bring peace to every country they enter into. I want you to know what their book says about you. I want you to know this morning what their book says about you and about me. Quran chapter 2, verse 191 through 193. You ready? And I quote, "Kill them whenever you find them, and fight until there is no more unbelief and worship is acknowledged to Allah alone." In other words, those people that do not worship Allah, kill them. And when there's no more people on the face of the earth who does not worship Allah, we're good. Quran chapter 8, verse 12, "Strike off their heads." So when the news media tells you, you know, all these people coming over here, they're peaceful, just go along with it. If they're peaceful, they're being disobedient. Because what they want to do is make the whole world worship their God. And until it does, they're going to kill everybody in their path. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. But what I am trying to tell you, for us Christians, it is not going to get better. It is only going to get worse. And you know what? In saying that, we got a choice to make. Are you going to stand for Jesus? Like Polycarp, like Peter, and like these people in the Middle East right now who are dying every single day because they love Jesus. Are you going to stand, or are you just going to sit down, compromise with the rest of the world? In mentioning all these people that have been killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's not forget Acts chapter number 7. Because the first man who was ever killed for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was a man named Stephen. And the whole reason he was killed was simply because he stood up for Jesus. That was it. So the question I want to raise to you this morning, I'll give you 3 quick points. is a will you stand up for Jesus in the year in which we're living? Because we've all got a choice to make, and there's going to come a day when we're going to have to make the choice for ourselves. And for me, I choose yes. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. But you know what, this morning, I'm going to give you three things that you and I can expect if you stand up for Jesus, and it might surprise you. Number one, if you stand up for Jesus, you can expect conflict. You can expect conflict when you stand up for Jesus. I want you to look at this. The accusers in chapter number 6 began to accuse Stephen of blasphemy. In chapter 7, verse 1, I want you to look at what it says. The high priest looked Stephen right in the face and said, "Are these things so? Is this true, Stephen, that you are blaspheming the law and blaspheming the temple? Is it the truth?" I want you to put yourself in Stephen's shoes this morning. They just looked at Stephen and said, "Is that the truth, Stephen?" If Stephen says no, they'll say, "All right, you can go home." If Stephen says no, he can go home sleep. He can go home and wake up and maybe preach another sermon tomorrow. But if Stephen says yes, he's sitting here thinking, if I say yes and stand up for what I believe in, more than likely they are going to stone me and they are going to kill me. So I want you to imagine standing in that huge circle. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside saying, "You know what's the truth. You need to stand up for the truth. But you know if you stand up for the truth, you're dead." When you could easily say, no, I don't want any trouble, and go home. See, even though we're not faced with that situation to an extent on a daily basis, maybe not to the extent of life or death, did you know we are put in that position every single day? Stand up for Jesus or not. We're put in that position every day. When you're watching TV or you're scrolling on your phone and you see something that you know you should not be watching, you have a choice right then. Stand up for Jesus or not. When everybody else of your friends or your family, they might be going to the bar, you've got a choice to make right that moment. Stand up for Jesus or compromise and just do what everybody else is doing. So we may not be in the situation right now that if we stand up for Jesus, we'll die. But every single day we are put in a situation where you can either stand for the truth and be obedient to Him or compromise with the rest of the world. We're put in that situation every day. But here's the issue. Who do you want to please? That's the issue. Who do we want to please? God or people? If we are into pleasing people, we will compromise our convictions. But if we are into pleasing God, you will stand for the truth and not worry about what people say. Can I be honest with you this morning? Justin's sometimes a little bit into pleasing people. Because you know what? I like to be a peacemaker, Miss Nan. All my life, even in school, if there was a fight that broke up in our class, I wanted to be a peacemaker. There is not one thing that I would ever do to try to cause conflict. And I can say that with all my heart. I would never want to cause conflict. But you know what God reminded me of this week? The only way I'm not ever going to cause conflict with people is if I compromise my convictions. Because if you stand for the truth, sometimes people will not like it. And when that situation pops up, guess what? We've got a choice. Who do I want to make happy right here? God or them? And I pray in every single choice we make, we will realize sometimes it does not matter about pleasing people. It matters about pleasing our God. Because although right now I am standing before people and I stand before people every single day, there is coming a day where I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I would rather stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, "I'm glad in that situation when I was 25 years old, I stood for you instead of for people." So think about that day where you'll stand before Him. And I would way rather please Him than people. And Stephen chose to stand up and preach a sermon containing nothing but the truth. And all of chapter 7 is just an Old Testament summary of the history of Israel. He started out with Abraham and ended with David. Stephen's sermon is basically this. You can read it when you go home. He says, God raised up a man named Moses to deliver you. You rejected him. You said, we want another leader. He says, God raised up a man named Joseph to deliver you from a famine. You rejected him. You sold him. And now God has raised up a man named Jesus who was his son, and you murdered him. Now that's powerful preaching. He is getting right into exactly what they've done. They've murdered God's sent son. And the Bible says that cut directly to their heart. See, preaching either does one thing. It can either cut to your heart and prick your heart, or it can absolutely cut your heart and make you mad. Pricking your heart means you repent. Cutting your heart means, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I think is right. But I want you to see that this morning. Sometimes when you and I stand up for Jesus, especially now in the world in which we live, it's going to cause conflict. But can I tell you, I'm glad of point number two. Not only is standing for Jesus going to cause conflict, it might just bring a congratulations. A congratulations. You see, we get done reading verse 53. Stephen preached his sermon. He's done. He stood up for God. He stood up for Jesus. And when I get done reading it, Brother Johnny, I expect God to say, Stephen, good job. I'm so glad I'm going to deliver you out of this. I won't allow you to be stoned because you stood up for me. That's what I expect to happen. God, I stood up for you. Protect me from these stones. Stop them. Stand in front of me somehow. That's not what we see, is it? Because you see, sometimes when we stand up for God, we've got to be willing to accept the consequences of it. What happened to Daniel? So Daniel, you cannot pray to any god for an amount of time. What did Daniel do? He went home, opened up them windows, got down on his knees and said, just in case y'all wanted to hear, God! He began praying to God and said, God, you'll protect me. But guess what? What happened to Daniel? He got thrown in a den of lions, didn't he? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Worship this image. And they said, no. We worship God and God alone. They literally were the only ones standing up. So you talk about standing for God, they were actually standing when everybody else was bowing down. But guess what happened? They got through in a fiery furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than it usually is. Jesus even stood up for us. Jesus stood up for God. But guess what that got him? A cross. And here's Stephen. He stood up for the truth. He stood up for God. And when I expect God to come and say, no, y'all can't stone him, he's mine, Stephen begins to get stoned. Sometimes when we obey God, we've got to be willing to accept the consequences that come from obeying God. But can I tell you something that's real good this morning? Because you can count on this. Every single time you and I stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can count on something. You see Jesus standing for you. I said every single time you stand up for Jesus, you'll find Jesus standing for you. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in that fiery furnace, there were 3 men in that furnace, but Nebuchadnezzar turned back around and said, there's 4 men! Because guess what happened? Jesus said, y'all stand for me, I'll stand for you. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel stood up for God. And guess what happened that night in the lion's den? I think God stood right in front of those lions and said, no, he's mine. You can't have him. And Stephen here, what you'll find is when Stephen began to get stoned, the Bible says Stephen looked up and the heavens opened and all he saw was something that I longed to see. God was seated on His throne and His Son Jesus was not seated at the right hand of God. He was standing at the right hand of God. Because Jesus looked at Stephen and said, Stephen, if you'll stand for me, I promise, son, I'll stand for you. Even if you die and you're standing for Jesus, the Bible says in Acts 7, Jesus stood up for Stephen. Wow. Every time you and I stand up for Jesus, all you've got to do is start looking around because somewhere Jesus is going to be standing up with us. And I don't know about you, but that encourages me, Herky. Nobody else may stand with you when you stand for the truth, but as long as Jesus is standing with you, you'll be all right. In this world in which we're living in, there's going to be a lot of people that fall off by the wayside and say, I'm not standing for the truth of what that Bible says. But can I tell you, it is an absolute encouragement to me to know that if nobody else stands, Jesus will stand. A conflict if you stand for Jesus. A congratulations if you stand for Jesus. But also, you might just see a conversion happen if you stand for Jesus. I'll give you this and I'm done. Stephen stood on his convictions. That scene is wrong today. If you've noticed, they don't hardly allow Tim Tebow to get on TV anymore and talk about Jesus, because he stood on his convictions and says, no, you can't do that in the media. You can stand for everybody else, just not for Jesus. Right? Stephen stood on his convictions that Jesus was the Christ. And guess who was around watching that? Verse 58. They cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Do you know who that is? That is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half of your New Testament, was sitting here watching Stephen get stoned. And more than likely, he was the leader of all this, looking at all of them and saying, it's time to stone him. Saul watched the whole thing. And he watched Stephen get stoned. But you know, that's in Acts 7. If you were to flip your page and go to Acts 9, you will see this same exact man named Saul meet Jesus on the Damascus Road and get born again. You say, what in the world happened to Paul? You know what I believe? I believe that while he was sitting there watching Stephen get stoned, he felt like he was doing the right thing, protecting God, protecting the law, protecting all these things. He saw Stephen bow down and say, look at there, there's Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And although at that time Saul didn't think anything about it, I can guarantee you when Paul went home and laid his head on the pillow that night, he thought, uh-oh. Maybe this Jesus stuff is the truth. And for days and days and days, Paul probably couldn't sleep because he kept on thinking, what if this Jesus stuff is true? What if I do need to get saved like Stephen? What if all these things are the truth? And one day on his way to Damascus, Jesus said, well, let me just show you what's the truth. And Jesus showed up right in front of Saul and said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And that was where Paul got converted. You know where I think that started? Was Stephen. Because he saw a man stand up for Jesus. And he probably said, you know what? If Stephen was willing to give his life for Jesus, maybe this stuff is true. And Paul got converted as a result. What I'm trying to tell you is this. You never know who's watching you live your life. Can I tell you this? If you compromise your convictions, nobody's going to get saved as a result of that. But if you stand upon the truth, some people may not like it, but they are going to come back one day and say, you know that day you stood upon the truth, it made an impact on my life. And as a result of that, I began to read my Bible. I began to get in church, because if you could do it and if you thought it was right, maybe it's right for me too. You never know who's watching you live your life. You know what's already changed me, Brother Daddy? Is that in August, I'm going to have a little boy watching every single move I make. And he's going to hopefully try to throw like his daddy. But you know what I hope? I've already told you this. You know what I hope more than that? I hope he sees that his dad stands upon the truth. That his parents stand upon the truth. And he wants to follow that. Because you never know who's watching your life and who it could make an impact on. Whether you have a job, people's watching and they're listening to the way you talk. They're watching the way you live. They're watching the things you do on the weekends, on Facebook. People are watching. Can I tell you, when you stand upon the truth and you stand up for your convictions on the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll make an impact on their life. Let me tell you this and I'm done. is what you're living for worth dying for? What are you living for? Is it your job? Is it your retirement? Is it your money? Is it your 401k? Is it all those things? Can I tell you, none of those things are worth dying for. I can go ahead and tell you that, because you can't take them with you. Why in the world would you die for something you can't take with you? Is what you're living for worth dying for? Can I tell you who is worth dying for? Jesus. It may not come in your day, but it may come in mine. To when it's going to come to America. The same things that began to happen to Stephen. Stand for Jesus and we'll get you out of here. Or compromise and don't. And my prayer for each and every one of you is that you will realize Jesus is so worth it. Jesus is so worth giving our life for Him. If you would all stand. Musicians, you can come. Maybe this morning you're just like Saul. Maybe you hadn't been able to sleep for days. Maybe you know that there's something in your life that you need to get right with God. And maybe you know there's never been a time that you've been born again. I invite you to come down here. I don't matter if you're 6 feet from me or if you're this close to me. If you need to get saved, I'll lead you to the Lord. But if you need to get saved this morning, I invite you to come down here and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because by the time 6 o'clock comes tonight, He might come back. And I pray you'll be right with Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for the examples we can follow in a man named Stephen. That although he caused conflict and he even died for it, he stood upon the truth. And right now he doesn't regret it. So Lord, we pray that You will help us as Christians in the day in which we're living to stand upon the truth, to share the truth. And Lord, just help us to live our lives to honor You. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.